Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead before I get this out of here. I'm going to add one new one here. Here you go, Nico.
Show me my ticker, Jimmy. Give me my ticker. Put the ticker up. Give me my ticker. I know you wouldn't know where it is. Give me the ticker.
It's right there. It's there. All right. It's there. Jeez.
Who's your daddy? Give me the who's your daddy. I need it. Give me the who's your daddy ticker.
Who's
I know
your
where it is.
Daddy?
Hey, if you did not notice, ladies and gentlemen, we are Jimmy and I. Jimmy didn't do this on purpose. I know he didn't, but I did it on purpose. We are wearing all black. All black. You want to know why? Because we're at the LeBron and Lakers funeral, baby. Good night. It is a funeral in L.A. Oh, man, it is. Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's crazy. Losing 160 minutes of the series and winning 4-1. It was so funny today, Jimmy. Everyone was saying LeBron's going to be the first team to come back from 3-0. I was told that the King is unbeatable. Oh, no. What happened, L.A.? Oh, let me cry. Lick up those tears of sadness.
I love those tears. I call those LeBron James. I call those Mr. and Mrs. James and Davis tears.
It tastes so good. Yummy. All the tears of sadness. Oh, man. This team is so far below us. So far below us. It is hilarious. And it's the old SpongeBob meme. How many times we got to teach this lesson to you, old man? You let Jamal Murray go one-on-one again with Anthony Davis? What the fuck do you think is going to happen, huh? Hey, guess what, Anthony Davis? Jamal Murray made a shot. Boink. That's all, folks. See you later. Have fun in Cancun.
Hey, him and LeBron had a lot of conversations about what they were going to do. Because listen, Nico, we celebrated too much. We celebrated last year too much. I know that who's your dad? I know that y'all beat us. Congratulations.
Those conversations got them one win, Jimmy. Hold on. Standing ovation. Hold on. They got that one win. Ladies and gentlemen, they did it. Ladies and gentlemen, they did it. They did it. They did it. They did it. Standing ovation. They did it. They won a game.
You
saw the parade. Oh, no, Jimmy.
Three
even better.
Victories plus the victory equals they swept us
even
before
better,
we
Jimmy,
beat them.
Hang the banner. They were in-season tournament champions. Hang the banner, baby. Come on. L.A., hang the banner. You want to talk about championships? Hang the in-season tournament championship banner. Come on, baby. Come on. L.A., hang the in-season. Jimmy, in-season tournament champions were down in 5. Oh, no. What happened? Oh no, LA.
It's tragic. I don't know what to tell you. at FBLGB Pod,
tragic.
Welcome to the far end of the bench.
Tragic for one side of this. I love every second of this.
It's tragic for you too, okay, Nico? Because you don't get to beat them any more times until next season.
I'm going to be so sad to not have to listen to Keyshawn Johnson on live television cheer Jamal Murray being injured. I have to listen to Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp talk about how the Lakers are going to come back for 3-0. I'm going to miss that so much. Oh, my God. Oh, that's I don't know what I'm going to do. They have to find new content, Jimmy. They have to figure something out. It's going to be the Ant God world, I guess. That's the next thing. And then guess what's going to happen? Oh, it's so – man, you find some new content, boys. You're going to have to get creative. You can't just dick ride your Queen James anymore. Queen James is gone. Kevin Durant's gone. Steph Curry's gone. Giannis Antetokounmpo, after tomorrow night, will be gone. Oh, you're going to have to find some new things to talk about. Oh, no. Oh, no, ESPN and Fox News. Oh, no. How will you ever recover from this? How will the NBA – I don't give a fuck about ratings. Find some new fucking content, boys, because you're running out of shit to talk about.
Ooh, we're coming in hot for this bonus edition post Nuggets Game 5, and we are moving on to the second round to get to the matchup that we're all excited for. I'm going to force you to wait until We don't even have to wait till our show. I'm not even going to force you to wait that long, but you got to wait until the end of this episode. Be sure to check out at FEOTV Pod, Instagram, X, formerly Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out our TikTok because I'm starting to post a lot of content there. I'm figuring out this editing game. I feel like an imbecile for not having the app that is literally the easiest thing downloaded on my phone. Check out all that stuff. We'll be able to show you the stuff I've been working on because I do have a trailer which we're going to be able to use in our shows moving forward. That's going to be the end of this episode today. So you'll be able to see that if you haven't seen it on our social medias already. We're riding high. We said it. We said there's a possibility that we get Celebration two nights in a row. We took care. Look. We're
knocking on wood.
We're knocking on wood. Blinders. We took care of game one. Jokic will be happy. Right? We took care of game one. Or game series one. One. Series one, we took care of. We needed to celebrate Monday night. Tomorrow, I'm hoping McKinnon is going to get up there. And instead of saying we haven't won shit, we're going to go on and we're going to play whoever ends up winding in their way into round two of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But, it is still very nice to have the Denver Nuggets and be able to say, because I'm right there with you. I wasn't necessarily on the same – obviously, I wasn't on the same level as you were. You dealt with this a lot longer than I have as a fan. So I feel a little bit bad glomming on, but this is – I am playing a character. This is a show, and I do get to have – a little bit of a say.
Jimmy, Lakers fans are the scum of the earth. You can enjoy this. If you live in the Denver area, go get yourself a Nuggets jersey and go rub it in a Lakers fan's face. They're the scum of the earth. Just go look at Keyshawn Johnson and what he said. Look at Stephen A. Smith. Look at everyone that's crying that they can't talk about their Queen James anymore after he walks off the court and doesn't shake anyone's hand. Oh, no. You want to cry about it? Let me play the world's smallest violin for you. I know you can't really see that world's smallest violin being played for you. Lakers fans don't deserve anything. They don't deserve to have a top two player all time on the team. They don't deserve any of the shit. They don't deserve Paul Gasol. They luckily got gifted to Shaquille O'Neal because that franchise was going nowhere with Kobe at the helm. They needed Shaq and they needed Powell to get somewhere and win championships. It's great. It's wonderful. But this franchise is so far below us now. It's not even funny. Let me remind people, we can go over the steps of this game and what I saw good and what I saw bad. But I this was not the easiest 4-1 gentleman sweep in the world. It absolutely wasn't. But the fact that the Denver Nuggets have not played a single good game, they have closed games out. They have not played a single 48-minute full good game, and you gentlemen sweep a team? That is scary for everybody. That is scary for everybody because you just knocked off LeBron James and Anthony Davis when they're both having a 30-point game tonight and Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell who were cooking at certain times of the series, and you still won 4-1. When everyone said this is the closest series ever, the series is going 7, Lakers are going to come back for 3-0, and the Nuggets said, nope, you know what? When the lights come on, there's no one better than us. Plain and simple. There's no one better than us. Your Queen James over there barking at our fans after hitting an and-1. Oh, it's just so funny. It's just so funny, Jimmy. It's so funny.
Let's go ahead. Let's talk about this game. I had people messaging me that they were watching for the first time. So big shout out to the Benchwarmers that decided to take up some playoff basketball. And you got a good game because, once again, the Denver Nuggets, they just refused to play with a lead. But I will say, at least this time, there was back and forth. There was a lead traded. I believe I was listening. I would go back through and watch the highlights before we do these shows. There were four different times that the game was tied. The Nuggets they didn't allow for like that big close down in the fourth quarter to be the scenario, even though the funny thing, as little respect as the national media gives the Denver Nuggets, that was the big thing in game four. Oh, well, you know, it's not over yet because we're just expecting this massive effort from the Denver Nuggets. They didn't even let that be a part of the conversation tonight. They did still have to win. Jamal Murray, that I told you. He's got water in his veins from a glacier in Alaska. It's always cold.
It's always cold. And this look, the start to this game was a lot different, in my opinion. The Nuggets looked a little more motivated to start the game and we had a really good first quarter. Second quarter is where things got worse. Obviously, you closed the second quarter great, but the beginning of the second quarter, non-Jokic minutes really hurt this team. But I don't think, Jimmy, I have lived 26 years on this earth. 26 and a half, nearly half. 26 and a half years on this earth. I have never seen a playoff basketball game where a 6-1 on foul margin in the first quarter. We didn't get a foul call until 30 seconds left in the first quarter, by the way. That's a real stat. Real stat. 6-1 on fouls. The refs are doing everything they could. It is a real statistic. The first time in NBA history that a team closed out a series with less than 10 free throw shot. Do y'all know what the final tally was? 27-9. 27-9 to the free throws tonight. 27-9 free throws. But LeBron has the audacity to cry about officials. And I'm sure we're not watching a post-game show of TNT and the ESPN.
You're watching the best post-game show. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure they're crying about it and whining, and LeBron's whining about it and all those post-game interviews and all that stuff. Look, the best statistics tonight, Jimmy, Nikola Jokic was perfect from the foul line tonight. He was 0-for-0. Although, hey, Darren, hey, Tyler, if you're listening, I'm sure one of you are listening. Where? How about that foul merchant? I was told he's a foul merchant. I was told that's all he could do.
That's foul Tyler. That's not, I don't want I to. Told, I know, Darren, but Darren is on our side. He
I was did told he's a foul commit. Merchant. He dropped 27-19 and probably 10 again tonight. That was, I don't know the final statistic. You can pull that for me, Jimmy. And he didn't shoot a single free throw. What other All-Star in this playoffs has played a game without shooting free throws? Seriously. I would beg to find one single All-Star the past 10 years. I'll even go past 10 years that didn't shoot a single free throw
sick.
In one playoff game.
Are you ready for this, Nico? 25-9-20.
Damn. Soundboard double, unfortunately. Soundboard double.
Yeah, I mean, he could have facilitated offense a little bit better. I feel like he just wasn't finding the open lanes that LeBron switched to him on defense. Really shut down his facilitation. He just had to score a lot more. But 20 rebounds. I thought that this guy doesn't play in the paint. I know that Jimmy, he's really soft. Good offensively
he
in the paint.
He flops. He's a crybaby.
I know he's too. Soft. I've seen his arms after the games. I know he's soft. I've looked at his brothers. His brothers.
He has to go WWE style and be in a steel cage match with the saber-tooth tiger to get a foul call. And then
he's got
to
go Jackie Moon wrestle bear.
He has to wrestle Mick Foley in a fucking Texas Chainsaw match to get a foul call. So he can at least get two free throws in the game. It is
look, in this I, corner.
I'm dead serious. I don't think there's been a single playoff player in the last 10 years that season was an all-star and in the playoffs, playing in the playoffs, they didn't record a single free throw. I'm dead serious. I don't think it's ever happened. That it is wild to me that Jokic did that tonight and didn't shoot a free throw. And look, the refs did everything they could to keep them in this game. They absolutely did. 27-9 free throws. This game, and look, the Nuggets shot this was in the foot too. 8 turnovers in the first half was horrendous. Horrendous. I hated every second of it. They were sloppy with the ball, and the offense was just not getting a rhythm. And we saw way too many layups again from the Lakers that were being allowed because we were switching everything, and it was Jamal, LeBron, it was Reggie Jackson on Anthony Davis. It was a combination of all of these that they were just playing ISO ball where they pick a guy, pick our top – because more likely it was AG on LeBron or AG on AD, and they pick AG with the point guard, and the Nuggets were switching everything because they – feel like they could do that, and LeBron would get matched up with LeBron Jamal would get matched up with LeBron or Reggie Jackson or KCP, and they just went one-on-one ISO ball, and it came back as bias in the ass again. But man, the resilience of this team is unbelievable. It is, like I said, it's the best locker room in the NBA, and it's frankly not even close. Everyone plays for another. Michael Porter Jr. again tonight. Again, he was arguably the second best player in the series. And the second best player and the first best player was not the guy who hit 2 game winners in the series. let's not forget
the guy that was warming up in flip flops on Sunday night because somebody forgot to. Wouldn't that be part of your job making sure the equipment shows up on time?
Yeah, that is part of my job for the PLL. It is part of my job making sure our bus gets everything
for the PLL. I want to say that for the PLL, not for the Denver Nuggets. If Nico was running the show for the Nuggets, which he should, if anybody out there, he would get the equipment there on time. He'd drive the U-Haul himself if he has to. I'm not going to
release some things, but I'll just say there's some times last season where some heroic plays were made by us liaisons to get some equipment to make sure that the games were still there is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to repeat those because I don't want to release anything, but what we did behind the scenes, yeah, there's been times where that's happened is all I'm going to say. So it's not anything new, but Michael Porter Jr. was unbelievable again. I would love to see him take another step defensively. I thought they were trying to pick on him. He was better in the fourth quarter, but I want to see him take that defensive step next game. But when Michael Porter Jr. is hitting his shots, there isn't a team on the planet that can beat this team.
Five simple. Of seven from 3 point.
Play simple. And look, the Denver Nuggets, statistically, through the first four games of every series, they pull a statistic. The Denver Nuggets were the worst 3 point shooting team. That includes every single NBA team in the playoffs. The teams that have already lost and been out, and teams that have already moved on. They have been the worst 3 point shooting team in the entire NBA. Tonight, obviously, the flip switch and everything was hidden. I don't understand Lakers' defensive strategy of leaving Michael Porter Jr. open. I really don't. Because you want to double team Jokic? Be my guest. Be my guest. Helping off of Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, and KCP. I mean,
as a team, the Nuggets are shooting 27%. Michael Porter Jr. is shooting 44%. So,
Darvin Ham, you're not even going to be allowed on the plane to Cancun. Like, you better go find a European country to go.
You're a problem.
Take a vacation.
You're a real problem.
You better find a new place to go to because that team's not going to want you. The first half was very, very low, but the second half, it's a slow, methodical pace. Even when LeBron was hitting shots, even when the Lakers were getting momentum, well, who comes back and finishes it? The best closer in the NBA. Jamal gets that unbelievable and one dunk, which wasn't called a foul, where he got literally slapped across the face. You want to talk about slaps across the face, Lakers fans? But Jamal gets mugged on the and one dunk on LeBron James, where he posterizes him. Then you get down to the end of the game where it's a tie ball game, and LeBron gets a tic-tac foul call underneath where he gets free throws, and he makes both. Good for you, King James. They can't blame you. But in the biggest moment, in the person's hands, I will stand on the fucking rooftop and keep saying this. There is no one I want more closing a game out for me than the duo of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Plain and simple. There's no one in the fourth quarter I'd rather have on the floor than 27-15. Not Luka Doncic, not Giannis, not LeBron, not Steph Curry right now, not Kevin Durant, none of them. I want Nicole. I want shout out Max Kellerman. I want fucking Jamal Murray. Aliens coming down to Earth, beam pointing at us. One shot to end the or save our lives. I want Jamal fucking Murray is what you want.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? He's proven it in two really, really big moments against what a lot of people say is the best defender on the planet. Or I guess he would say that. When he takes time away from, you know, making sure he has one eyebrow and he can actually worry about basketball. He says that he is the best defensive player on the planet. Final thoughts on the gentleman sweep of Los Angeles. One last barb in there.
The Lakers are so far below us. This is not the end goal. It's not the end goal. I'm happy. I obviously love beating that team. 12 of the last 13 games now it is that we beat them. And we gave them one game because we wanted to send them home on our own court and have a long flitting ride home. I hate acting like this is that big a deal because to me it is, because I hate being that team. But we have bigger fish to fry. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are one step in the entire process of winning the NBA Finals. Last year, we walked through them very easily. This year, it was a much tougher test. We like I said, we were down. We had five great comebacks, or four great comebacks, where we won the game. And like I said, I love the performance of the team. But this team has not played a full game yet. And I want to touch on LeBron's legacy for a second, because the media will talk about this. Whatever. There, look, you watch LeBron. LeBron in his history, 20-year history, every series that he's lost or won, he's dapped up the other team, except against us. I don't know what it is. I seriously don't know what it is. That is two straight years LeBron walks directly off the field, or not the field, the court, walks directly off the court and doesn't shake hands. I don't know if he's butthurt. I don't know if he's sick and tired of us owning his ass. I seriously don't know what it is. And I'm not going to be prejudiced here, but these Europeans coming in and kicking his ass, he's sick and tired of it. He's sick and tired of it because Jamal Murray, the Canadian-born, and Nikola Jokic, Serbian-born, come in and whoop your ass 2 years in a row. You don't have even the fucking the kindness of paying respect. Reminder, Lakers fans, reminder, what happened in 2021 All-Star game? Nikola Jokic was the last pick of the team LeBron. And it was the last pick of the All-Star game of team LeBron. Since that moment, the Lakers have won one game against us. One game against us since that moment. Or maybe it's 2022 All-Star game. Excuse me. I get my years mixed up. Either way, they've won one game since that moment where LeBron waited for Jokic to be like, I guess I'll take Jokic. Like the disrespect is unbelievable. And the disrespect to the media is unbelievable for this team. I get Anthony Edwards is on a different level. I get that Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are marketable people. We're watching the San Antonio Spurs of this era, plain and simple. And we have to. I don't take a second from watching this team for granted at all. Plain and simple. I don't take a second at all for watching this team for granted because they're. I ain't watching the best player that will ever play for my team unless something miraculous happens in 30, 40 years. I am watching the best teams play. I'm watching the best coach in this team history, all in the planet's span. And they are winning championships and winning games, and no one's giving us respect. I ain't getting no respect. I ain't getting no respect, Jimmy. Get no respect. And you know what? Honestly, at this point, I'd rather have it that way because it's more fun breaking those hearts. It's more fun. It's more fun because the last thing the national media wants is an Oklahoma City Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals. It's the last thing they want. They're praying for the T-Wolves to beat us. They're praying for Luka or the Clippers to beat the Thunder because it's more marketable. Stephen A. Smith and Team ESPN doesn't want to come to Denver again. They don't want to come. It snowed here the past 2 weekends. They don't want to come here. And you know what? We don't want you. We don't want you. It's plain and simple. This franchise, this organization has been built off of fuck everybody else. This is our team. Plain and simple. And that's how this team is played. Dude, the first round of playoffs and every other playoff series they ever played, it's all about the Denver Nuggets. Plain and simple. It doesn't matter what the other team does. It doesn't matter what the outside media does. It matters what's happening in the city. It matters what happens in this locker room. And that's all that matters to this team. And like I said, we'll talk about the series here, next series here in a minute. But getting out of this series in five games, where now you have four next game one is on Saturday against the T-Wolves. Now you have 5 days of rest. It is huge because KCP obviously tweaked his ankle. He went to the locker room twice. I was sitting right there watching him go to the locker room. Jamal Murray obviously was questionable tonight with the calf strain. Obviously, the calf strain gave him superpowers again. Look, it is massive to get this rest because Minnesota cooked the Suns. The Suns were horrendous. They cooked the Suns. And you didn't win a four, but you still took care of business. Finish at home. Get to stay at home. Get that rest. Get the hot tub. Get the cold tub. Get the Normatex on your legs and get prepared for a war in the second round between the two teams. Arguably, and like I said, I tweeted this out last night when the T-Wolves beat the Suns. The winner of this series is going to win the NBA Finals. Straight up. Celtics without Porzingis are going to win it. I don't trust anyone else in the East. Frankly, Oklahoma City hasn't been tested yet, so we'll see how they do against Dallas or the Clippers. Minnesota Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets, the winner of the series will win the NBA Finals. Dead serious. Because that's how good these two teams are. They are the two best teams in the West, not only the West, but they're the two best teams in the NBA right now. And the Nuggets have not showed it. They have not showed it thus far. So this is going to be an all-out war.
That brings us to our look here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to pull up, because you know all the Nuggets guys. I'm going to pull up the T-Wolves guys, and we're going to go what a lot of people are doing around the league, which is matchup for matchup. That's how people are trying to break this series down, which makes sense because games are won and lost on matchups, but that also kind of nullifies the guy on the bench. So I feel like that's something that we'll talk about, but we'll get to that there. We'll start with the players. So Anthony Edwards for Minnesota. He's listed as a shooting guard, but he's an athletic freak. He can shoot. He dropped 40 in the closeout game against the Suns. Who are we going to use to negate Anthony?
I think it's going to be KCP. I really believe KCP. Look, if you watch that last game, second to last game of the regular season versus the T-Wolves with the chance number one seed on the line, let's not forget. So that was a massive game. Obviously, we lost to San Antonio and didn't get the one seed, but we beat Minnesota second to last game of the year, and you watched, or third last game of the year, and you watched KCP lock down Anthony Edwards in that fourth quarter. Anthony Edwards didn't score a bucket in that fourth quarter. Let's not forget, the last game these two teams played, Anthony Edwards did not score a bucket in the fourth quarter. He's a killer. He's an absolute animal. But the KCP has guarded the best of the best. Last year in the playoffs, he guarded Anthony Edwards. Last year in the playoffs, he guarded Devin Booker. He guarded LeBron James at times this series and last year. He guarded Jimmy Butler. KCP will take that with ownership, I believe. And he will be very, very important again defensively. I don't need KCP to get 10 points a game. I need him to get six and to hold Anthony Edwards under 30. And that's what you need from him. So hopefully these 5 days can get him the rest he needs and get that ankle healthy, because we won't be able to win the series without him. I think defensively he's a great matchup for Anthony Edwards. He's long, he's tall, he's lengthy, he's a very, very solid defense ring defender, and that's what you need against Anthony Edwards. But that's the matchup there. Is KCB going to outscore? No, he's not. No, he's not. But Anthony Edwards is their dog. Plain and simple. And Jokic is our dog, plain and simple. So those are the two dogs that will just go at each other. And it's going to, and we'll talk about these rest of these matchups here in a second, but the rest of these matchups is where the game's going to be won or lost. Anthony Edwards is not going to win this series by himself, plain and simple. He's not going to win this, it is the other matchups and who takes those and takes those advantages.
Let's go to the next one that you deem most important. So I thought Anthony Edwards was important to shut down. Who do you think is going to play the most pivotal role in their matchup against Minnesota Timberwolves?
Offensively for the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's going to be Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns did not play that last game.
Is AG going on Karl-Anthony Towns?
It will be AG on Karl-Anthony Towns. Jokic will be matched up with Gobert, but I do believe AG will have that matchup. Karl-Anthony Towns, when he's hitting threes and playing good defense, he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player. He was the number one pick back in 2017 or maybe 2018, 2016, somewhere around there. He's the number one pick for a reason. He's a deadly shooter. The guy has a great post-up game. It's important for AG to lock down because, like I said, it's a completely different matchup from what he faced this series. And that's the versatility of AG. Obviously, he guarded LeBron for most of the series this past series. Then he had matchups against Anthony Davis. I expect more of a defensive matchup of how he guarded Anthony Davis to be similar to Karl-Anthony Towns. I expect him to test Karl-Anthony Towns in the post. Like, hey, take me off the dribble. I beg you to take me off the dribble. Because Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't think, is the best dribbler in the world. He's going to beg him to take him off the dribble and beg him to shoot a shot over him. And if you force that and force nothing easy, that's going to be huge for them. So I think that's the second most pivotal defensive matchup. And obviously, I'm a defensive guy. So, like, I love seeing how we match up defensively. But we really do. We really do. And then, look, probably the biggest matchup in the entire series is going to be Nikola Jokic and Rudy Gobert. Defensive player of the year against the most valuable player of the year. It's basically all been confirmed. Those two guys have won both those awards this year. And with Rudy Gobert, people say Rudy Gobert can stop Jokic. He can't. He can't. Play simple. He can slow him down, but he can't stop him. Brother, he has 40. Remember that? Brother, I have 40. You want to talk shit? I have 40. Rudy Gobert, Jokic has gotten the better of that matchup nearly every time they've played. Can Rudy Gobert be a force where he slows them down? Absolutely can. Absolutely can. But I expect to see Minnesota do what the Lakers try to do, but they don't have the bodies to do that. And that's put Karl-Anthony Towns one-on-one with Nikola Jokic and have Rudy Gobert guarding Aaron Gordon in that, because Aaron Gordon is going to be that dunker spot when Jokic has the ball, and have Gobert play free safety of sorts, where he's just that safety net where if Jokic gets by him, he can stop his shot. I expect that to be the initial assignment defensively against the team. But I would take a guess. If it's one-on-one at the end of the game, it's more than likely going to be Gobert guarding Jokic because they have that much trust defensively in Gobert. But it's going to be very, very important for Jokic to also play great defense with Gobert, because Gobert, he's not going to shoot the ball. He cannot fall asleep defensively. He's a big guy. He's got a massive wingspan. He's great over the top of defenders. I would love to see Jokic keep Rudy Gobert under 20 points a game. If Rudy Gobert can keep Rudy Gobert under 20 points a game throughout the series and keep Gobert around that same range as well, you're going to win the series. Plain and simple. Because their core three, Jay McDaniels is a really good player, but their core three or core four is very, very good. But if you negate two of them, that team can crumble. That team can crumble. You cannot let Anthony Edwards go berserk. You cannot let Karl-Anthony Towns also go berserk. You cannot let Rudy Gobert drop 30 on your head in the post because he's dunking all over you. You cannot let that happen. So I expect a better defensive performance. I thought he was great in the second half tonight, Jokic, against Anthony Davis. But you could tell that Anthony Davis took that matchup personally. He was doing a great job one-on-one, getting a lot of mid-range shots, a lot of floaters over the top of Jokic, and that's Anthony Davis' game. That's not Rudy Gobert's game. Rudy Gobert is not going to face up Jokic and hit a jumper over his head. He's going to try for the floaters. He's going to try to get the layups very easily. So I would like Jokic to be a force in the middle. And I would not be surprised if halfway through games you see AG move to that Gobert matchup too, and have Jokic step out to Karl-Anthony Towns, because they're not the two fastest people in the world. they're not the two fastest people in the world. So I expect him to step out maybe on Cat a couple times and just see what's going best for them. But that's definitely the matchup everybody's going to watch and keep your eyes on, because you have two award finalists facing off against each other. Playing something, you have two award finalists facing off each other, and they're going to be it's going to be another big man war.
We'll save a little bit more of that analysis of the matchups for our actual show. Last thing that we'll talk about for this post-game show, which I think is going to be a good topic of discussion moving forward, biggest X factor, because I'm looking here. I know that the Nuggets don't play a ton of their bench, but their bench seems to be a little bit more productive. When I look at Minnesota, they have three guys, and all three of those guys had less than 10 points. So is the bigger X factor that's going to help the Nuggets move past this, what you've already mentioned, what everybody in the NBA media world has already mentioned, their toughest matchup in these playoffs? Is it going to be the depth, or is it going to be the coaching of Michael Malone taking over and leading this team forward?
It's going to be the depth. I love Michael Malone, but let's not forget Chris Finch, former Denver Nugget assistant. He came from the Michael Malone coaching tree. And let's not act like the Timberwolves don't know the playbook. This Tim Connelly over there, general manager.
I feel like the water boy where Mark Malone should be with Coach Klein. Just, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him.
It's going to be huge of Michael Malone to make adjustments, and I don't doubt that he will make adjustments. But these are two evenly matched teams where it's not going to necessarily be massive adjustments, because both teams are very, very well coached. Chris Finch is a hell of a coach. I expect more of a who's got that type of series, not coaching circles around guys like Malone to the Darvin Ham. I think the depth is very, very important, because you look at the depth of Minnesota. Naz Reid is one of the best six man in the league. He's a damn good offensive player, and like I said, he'd be a center on a lot of teams in the NBA. He'd be a starting center for a lot of teams in the NBA. He's that good. And then you have Monte Morris, and you have Jaden McDaniels starts for them, but you have Slo-Mo and Kyle Anderson. They have good depth over there. They have very, very good depth, and that's very, very scary, because you look at the depth for the Nuggets after round one. Peyton Watson had a big three tonight, but he was nowhere to be seen offensively this series. Reggie Jackson had a horrible first four games, but tonight he was present, obviously, so we need that to continue for him. And then you look at who that third or fourth guy is. To be honest, you know, I'd be surprised if we saw Zeke Nnaji / DeAndre Jordan this series. I'm serious. I really do think that there's a possibility, because Justin Holiday, I mean, that man's out there getting cardio. He checked into the game and got two fouls in less than 2 minutes. And I was like, all right.
Well, it's like my stat line.
I was like, what the fuck are we doing with Justin Holiday? So I would not be surprised at all if we saw DJ or Zeke Nnaji try to match Naz Reid defensively. Because like I said, Christian Brown and look, you always have two of Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Jokic, and Murray on the floor at all times. You will always have two of them on the floor at all times. Whoever that third or fourth guy will be, we'll see. Because Christian Brown's obviously his impact defensively and his grit is going to play no matter what. Peyton Watson, we've seen what he's been able to do in getting swats and turning energy. He's an energy guy. The third guy, Reggie Jackson, obviously very, very tough series. But that fourth guy is where things will get interesting. Do you cut it? Do you cut those losses and just run AG at the five, or like you did against this series and those non-Jokic minutes? Or do you throw DeAndre out there? Do you throw Zeke Nnaji out there to try to match the height and the strength of Minnesota? So I'm very interested to see how Malone makes those adjustments. But the depth is going to be – because, like I said, those non-Jokic minutes is where shit goes to fucking waste. It's like, oh, fuck, please don't lose this.
It's not just us. When Embiid left the floor, when Tatum leaves the floor, like these other teams, when their best players leave the floor, that's how you know who's going to be able to win. Who can overcome those minutes where they literally need to sit on the bench?
And I would expect probably – five or six different guys come off the bench this series for the Nuggets. I'm serious. I would not be surprised to see DJ, not be surprised to see Zeke, not be surprised to see Justin Holiday. Then obviously your big three, and Reggie Jackson, Peyton Watson, Chris Brown will also play. So I would not be surprised if they try to test different things out. Because like I said, it's a long series, and it's very important. That last game in Minnesota, yeah, we didn't get the one seed. We have home court advantage. That's huge. It's huge. Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche are still undefeated at Ball Arena thus far in the playoffs. Still undefeated. So that's huge going into the first game, having that energy where you don't need to go on and play Minnesota. They have to come to you and you can rest at home. That's huge having that advantage. So hopefully these next couple of days, the legs can get back underneath them. Guys can rest up those bumps and bruises. And like I said, you took care of business the way you should have. It would have been nice to win in four. But you know what? You didn't play around your food. You said, "Yeah, you know what? Give your fans something to cheer about so we can break your hearts in game five." That's what the Nuggets did tonight. So, like I said, you take these 4 to 5 days off.
and get your legs underneath you, game plan for how you're going to slow down Anthony Edwards and slow down Carl Anthony Towns offensively. And hopefully you have some, like I said, the offense was not good this series for us. I did not like the offense production at all. I thought MPJ was good. I thought Jamal Murray in the clutch was very good, but Jokic taking 7.5 shots, you cannot have that. I'm sorry. That is way too little. That's way too little. He needs to have the ball in his hand more, and I expect that going into the start of these next couple of games because I need a hot start. I need a hot start. We cannot – the Timberwolves are so much better than the Lakers. If you get these double-digit deficits, you're not going to be able to overcome them. Plain and simple. That's a fact of the matter. That's how much better the T-Wolves are than the Lakers. So you cannot have these double-digit deficits where you're trying to claw yourself back into a game.
I think that I would like to see them be able to play a little bit more with the lead. But we'll obviously be able to talk about that. I'm going to throw it up here on the screen once I get it all done. But we can expect now, we're wholly focused on the Avalanche and seeing what they are going to be able to do. Big game tomorrow night coming up in Winnipeg, chance to close things out, not on home ice, but that's kind of what the Avalanche do. They never like to win series here.
The rest of the NHL series have been tied 2-2. I think the only one that just finished was Florida, but every other series has been very, very close. So that's the only series that's really been made a massive dent and moved on, had a team move on. So I'd love to get another thing. Like we said, the Nuggets, Avs getting on, moving, take care of business, move on, get the fuck out. Plain and simple, get Winnipeg out of here. We don't play around with these first series, and that's important. That's what happened with our first two, our cup run and our championship run last year. Get out of these early rounds as quick as you can. Don't play with their food and go on to bigger fish to fry.
I agree with you. Content schedule for the next couple of days. Tomorrow, post-game show for the Avs. Hopefully, it's the last one that we have for the week. Then Wednesday, we'll have our normal show. It will be live since it is playoff time. We don't want to miss anything. And then we'll be back post-game, round two, game one for the Denver Nuggets Saturday. I believe they would start before the Avalanche as well. Like I said, we are wrapping things up. Be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod. I'll show you guys a couple of examples of what you can see when you follow us over on our TikTok as well as our YouTube. Subscribe, like,
bye comment. Bye, Lakers fans. Bye bye.
Take that L on the way out, Lakers. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, thank you for tuning in to a special bonus edition of the Far End of the Bench podcast. The Lakers are gone. The Nuggets move on to round two. Who's your daddy? That is right. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, Nico Bryant, see you guys tomorrow night.
Peace.
What is up, benchwarmers and sports fans of the internet? The Far End of the Bench podcast is bringing to you live post-game content following every Avalanche and Nuggets contest throughout their championship runs. As far as they go, we will continue to be alongside them. We are also releasing our episodes live every week. Follow at FEOTB Pod. Be sure to subscribe and like the channel. Enjoy the highlights so far. Come join us on the Far End of the Bench.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Ladies and gentlemen, they got to keep searching. They got to keep searching for what are they going to say this time?
Jimmy, I don't know if you saw, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Far End of the Bench podcast. Yes, the Denver Nuggets won today, 1-0. But Jimmy, I have this feeling, you know, the Lakers really figured us out today. I think we're down like 3-0 in moral victories. I think Monday
was the Los Angeles Lakers, everybody. They figured the Denver Nuggets out. 3-0, baby, come on. You know, you're only down – it may look like you're down 1-0, but really, like I said, only you're up 3-0.
So look at that. Look at the positive, Lakers fans. Look at the positives. Things are going great for you guys, right? 3-0. You guys got this.
I hope so. Here's a little bit of a background. You don't know this, but when I created the link, I may have dropped the link in a few chats that we're in, and a couple of those chats do have Lakers fans. I did mention to Terrell that we're doing a live post game. I want him on here so that he can talk about these moral victories, because obviously that's all the Lakers have over us. But you see it on the screen. Nuggets win game one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to reality. This is This is what we have to deal with on a regular basis, because when your team, you get spoiled a couple of years in a row where your team just goes on these absolutely incredible runs, never looks like they have anything in doubt. Relying on if Eustace Annan is back there. The fact that it's not Alexander Georgiev, it's an okay scenario, but it's not like a scenario I'm 100% cool with. Everybody else needs to step up. If that's the decision that the coaching staff makes, that's a conversation that's had with everybody.
It's the only conversation that needs to be made, seriously, because I don't know how you walk into that locker room and walk into practice again and think, yeah, I think I can go for another and allow them another touchdown. It doesn't matter who the fuck is behind him. And the only reason why Georgiev is probably going to get another start in this playoff run is because he had to have experience and had to try to see what he has from him. Like I said, there's reasons why I don't want to be compared to the Golden State Warriors. There's reasons why I don't want to be compared to the Lakers in the late 2010s. There's reasons why I don't want to be compared to the Miami Heat. I want to be compared to the San Antonio Spurs. That's the goal of this team. Because this team consistently shows up, takes care of the business, and beats your ass. Because I am infuriated. I was infuriated. I kept my emotions because that's a goal of mine is to try to control my emotions, especially anger. I can obviously show more. I try to show as much time as possible to control my anger or in the little I have and control the piss offness that I have at a game sometimes, and be a better person. And I take that from Ted Lasso. But like I it's hard to control it, and when it's a release of emotion that is unmatched. Watching a game winner, like I think there's very, very few things that can top it. Plain and simple. He is a next play mentality, and the way they block shots and what I saw from Miko getting on the ice, I saw Jack Johnson on the ice and take dives up.
Knicks were in all kinds of passing lanes. it was kind of incredible. It was like they had a Matrix level ability tonight where a puck could be skidding across the ice and it would bounce and they could knock it out of midair 2 feet off the ice. They were absolutely killer just in the neutral zone with their stick. There's a couple times where it looked like Winnipeg, it was a good pass, but an Av just swooped right in, stole it off their stick, made it look like the pass was intended for them and we're going back the other way. It's the most solid hockey game I've seen this team play in a month.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.